الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته الله 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 رسل أهل السبل هذه الأمم لشريعته الله 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 الله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها ذلكم خير لكم لعلكم تذكرون فإن لم تجدوا فيها أحدا فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم والله بما تعملون عليم ليس عليكم جناح أن تدخلوا بيوتا غير مسكونة فيها متاع لكم والله يعلم ما تبدون وما تكتمون قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون.
Shall I be starting from ayah number 27 today of Surah An-Nur? And as we have mentioned before, this surah, it covers many social issues. And of course, what could be more of a social issue than visiting each other and going to each other's places? So the etiquette regarding that is going to be mentioned today, as well as the issue of covering up the ayat of hijab and the ruling of interacting between men and women, that is going to be discussed in the ayat today. So ayat number 27, it starts off and tells us the ruling of getting permission before getting into going into anybody's house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ O people of Iman, don't enter the houses other than your own houses حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا until you make isti'nas. Isti'nas has been interpreted in a couple of ways. Some ulama, they say it just means permission. Others say that this word is actually from the word unsiyah. Unsiyah, which means to become affectionate, to become close, to basically be a person whom the people are comfortable with. Okay, so don't go to anybody's house until people are comfortable with you. Okay, so if they are uncomfortable with you being there, do not go there. So that's one interpretation. Being close to the people to a point where you can enter the house and they don't feel, bad about it. Otherwise, if they don't like you being there, then there is no point in going. Do not go. Okay. And the other interpretation, like I said, the istinsu, some scholars have interpreted it as just getting permission. before entering the house. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not enter the houses other than your houses until you have either taken permission or you have become close to the people, the dwellers of the household. وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. And the second thing is, and you do not enter until you make salam upon the dwellers of the houses. So what used to happen in the days of Islam, in the beginning of Islam, was that the people, they used to come and they used to make salam outside the house because they did not have any curtains or any doors blocking the house. So basically they used to stand outside and they used to say, Assalamu alaikum, no response. Assalamu alaikum, no response. Assalamu alaikum, no response. Then the order was, if there's no response after three times, then you leave and don't bother entering, because either the people are not in or they may be inside but they are busy and they don't want to be disturbed, so therefore you should just go away. Okay, so it's mentioned that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he tried to take permission to enter into the house of Umar radiallahu anhu three times, and he was not given permission, so he turned away. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to the people in the house, أَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ صَوْتَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ قَيْسِ يَسْتَأْذِنُ. Didn't you hear that Abdullah ibn Qais was asking permission to enter? إِذَنْ وَلَهُ. Give him permission. So they sought him and they found him that he had gone. When he came another time, Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, مَا أَرْجَعَكْ. What made you go away from us? قَالْ إِنِّي اسْتَأْذَنْتُ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لِي. I took permission from you three times and it was not given to me. وَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ فَلْيَنْصَرِفْ. When the person takes permission, he should do it three times. If the permission is not given to him, he should turn away. And the riwayah actually goes on to say that Umar radiallahu anhu, he had not heard of this riwayah. He had not heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying this, and he actually got it verified from other people. Anas radiallahu anhu also reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took permission from Sa'd ibn Ubadah. He went to the house of Sa'd ibn Ubadah and took permission from him to enter by saying salam three times. And Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he responded to the salam in a very low tone, to a point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't hear it. After saying salam three times, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went away. Sa'd ibn Ubadah chased him and said, Ya Rasulullah, I heard you all three times, but I just wanted you to keep on saying salam to me again and again. That's why I just responded to you in a low voice so that you could say salam to me two more times for free. So that was these riwayat show that three times permission, and the way of seeking permission was to say assalamu alaikum. The other point to keep in mind is that when a person is at somebody's house, he should not be standing right in front of the door. Okay, he should stand to the right or the left. It is mentioned that a person came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking his permission, and he stood right in front of the door. Okay, and again, like we mentioned before, there were no doors at the time. Okay, sometimes there was not even any curtain or anything blocking the house, blocking the view from outside. So the person standing right in front of the door and he is saying assalamu alaikum and he's seeking permission. So what kind of permission is that? The permission, as the next riwayah will hear, the permission was to actually to prevent a person looking into the house while the dwellers of the house are inside. Okay, so you should stand to the right and left, even if the door is opened wide. Sometimes the kids come and they open the door wide open and the ladies are inside. So if you are standing to the right or the left of the door, then your sight will not fall onto something that you're not supposed to be seeing. There's a riwayah also that to peek into people's houses is not permissible. There are a few riwayat actually. There are a few hadith which talk about this, that to peek into people's houses, it is completely haram. Okay, the whole issue of this permission is what? Why do we have to take permission to enter a person's house? Because he may be in a situation of undress, he may be in a situation where he doesn't want to be seen, or she, women, may be in that situation. So the whole purpose of getting permission is for them to cover themselves up, to go to the back room and get everything ready in the house. If there's a mess, kind of like quickly clean it up and then give permission to the person to come in. So if a person is already peeking into the house, what is the point of the permission? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, لو أن امرأً اطلع عليك بغير إذن فحذفته بحصات فقفأت عينه ما كان عليك من جناح. That if a person peeks into your house and you throw a stone at him, and you hit his eye to a point that you even blind his eye, there is no punishment upon you. You were perfectly justified in doing that. This is a very strong hadith which tells us about the strong prohibition of not looking into people's houses. Okay. So some of the scholars, they basically take this hadith very literally. They take this hadith literally that if a person did peek into anybody's house and a stone was thrown at the person and it blinded him, there's no punishment. But the Hanafi school of thought, according to Hanafi scholars, they say that this will only be in the case where the person actually comes into and barges into the house with the intention of harming the occupant. Okay, and he's trying to burgle the house, he's trying to rob the house, whatever he wants to do. But to prevent from himself from his harm, the person, he hits him, and by hitting him, he blinds him or harms him in another way. So there will be no punishment upon him because he's basically acting in self-defense and he's protecting himself and his family. Okay, but in any case, the whole thing is not to peek into people's houses. It is not permissible. And the strength of this riwayah actually tells us how reprehensible the practice is. Also, it's narrated from Jabir radiallahu anhu. He says, أَتَيْتُ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي دَيْنٍ كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَبِي فَدَقَقْتُ الْبَابِ. I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about to talk to him about an issue of a debt that my father was under, and I knocked on the door. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ ذَا, who is that? فَقُلْتُ أَنَا, I said, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, it's me. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَنَا, meaning he was saying, what does he mean, me? What is that supposed to mean? Why does he say ana? Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like that? Because you can just say me all day, nobody's going to know who you are unless you mention your name. Okay, unless they know you by voice, you're the head of the house, or you're a relative that's close. Otherwise, just saying me is not going to tell the occupant who you are. So if somebody says to you, who are you? You should mention yourself by name, that I am such and such. It is mentioned that this ayah was actually revealed when a woman from the Ansar, she said, Ya Rasulallah, inni akunu fi manzili ala al-halit على الحال التي لا أحب أن يراني أحد عليها لا والد ولا ولد. A woman, she complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, sometimes I'm in my house and I'm in such a situation that I don't want anybody to see me. Okay, whether it's my father or my child or anybody of my household, I don't want them to see me. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَزَالُ يَدْخُلُ عَلَيَّ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِي وَأَنَا عَلَى تِلْكَ الْحَالِ. And people continue to come in, and I'm in that kind of situation. So this ayah was revealed because of this woman's request. That's one thing. Also, it is mentioned that Zainab, the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, she says that كَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ مِنْ حَاجَةٍ فَانْتَهَى إِلَى الْبَابِ تَنَحْنَحَ وَبَزَقَ. Whenever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, meaning she's talking about her own husband here, she says that whenever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to come back home from anywhere, he used to kind of make a noise, like clearing his throat, or, making a sound like he's clearing his throat, or, clearing the phlegm from his from his chest or something like that, just to know, just to let the occupants, even though it's his own wife, know that he is outside. Okay, why? Because obviously in those days they had small houses, and the wife could be in a situation where she does not want her husband to see. Okay, they didn't have the bathrooms, the specific bathrooms. Okay, so a situation where the wife, she does not want her husband to see. So even the husband, when he used to come to the house, he used to let his wife kind of know beforehand that he is coming. And this was what the Prophet ﷺ used to say, that that a person should not suddenly come into the house and barge into the house. Even though it's his own house, he should let the dwellers know. And it is very commonly known about the habit of the Prophet ﷺ, that whenever he used to return from a journey, he used to camp outside Medina. All right, he's within touching distance of Medina. He could go right home, but he chooses to stay outside Medina. Why? It's mentioned in the hadith why he did that. The hadith says, "And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qadima al-Madina naharan fa anakha bi dhahiriha." He came to Medina during the daytime, and he let his camels roam, meaning he let the camels free, and he encamped in that area right outside Medina. وقال انتظروا حتى ندخل عشاء, wait until the night falls, and then we will or evening falls, and then we will come. حتى تمتشط شعثة وتستحد المغيبة وتستحد المغيبة, so that the women of the household who are in a disheveled state, they can comb their hair, the hair that's all messed up, they can comb their hair, and they can clean the hidden part of their body, that meaning the hair of the hidden part of the body, they can clean that off, meaning they can prepare themselves for the coming of their husbands. Okay, so basically, look at it from the perspective of a husband who's been away for a month or 2 months, and he has a vision of his wife in a state of beauty, in nice clothing, and he has that vision in his mind. If he suddenly barges upon her and she's in the worst state possible, he's going to get so frustrated. I was thinking one thing and you're in this mess, I'm going back again. So this was the wisdom that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that obviously there's no communication, there's no telephones to let the wife know that I'm coming. So therefore, that was the wisdom that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam employed. Camp outside Medina so that the people know, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of his army is here, and they're going to be coming in the evening. The women find out, they prepare themselves, do the makeup, whatever it is that the women do, and they basically get themselves ready. So this is another wisdom taught to us by the habit of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So all of these points are actually related to the verses which I'm about to recite. Okay, so the verse which I've already translated, actually, I'll do it again. O people of Iman, don't enter the houses other than your houses until you have taken permission and you have made salam upon its dwellers. Okay, the three times salam that I mentioned. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is better for you, maybe you will take heed. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. If you don't find anybody in the houses, do not enter them until you have been given permission. So basically, after three times of making salam, if nobody responds to you, go away and come back another time. وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرُجِعُوا. And if it is said to you, go back, then go back. Okay, it could mean both things, meaning go away or come back another time. This can mean both things. Huwa askalakum, this is more pure for you, this is better for you. Wallahu bima ta'amaloon aleem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is fully aware of whatever it is you're doing. Laysa alaykum junahun an tadkhulu buyutan ghayra maskunatin fiha mata'un lakum. There is no harm upon you if you enter those houses that have no dwellers inside them, that are empty, and in them is your are your goods. Okay, this has been interpreted in two ways. Either it means that a person has a shop or something that has people coming in and out all the time. So if he comes into his own shop where the public is coming in and out at all times, you know, he doesn't need to take permission. He is coming into his own place. So there's nothing wrong with that. He doesn't need to take permission to enter this public place where people are coming in and out. Another meaning is, if you look at the meaning word for word, it means if you have a property that is empty, but you have some stuff inside it, then obviously it's empty and you need to come in and out of the house to get things out or put things inside. Okay, so there is no point in taking permission in entering that property. You're allowed to do that without any harm and without any problem. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tubduna wa ma taktumun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows whatever it is you do openly and whatever it is you are hiding. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes. Okay, so this ayah is talking about the lowering of the gaze, protecting the eyesight, and not looking at things that a person is not supposed to look at. It's narrated that Abdullah ibn Bajali radiallahu anhu, he says, سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن نظرة الفجأة فأمرني أن أصرف بصري. I asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام about a sudden sight, suddenly looking at a woman, by accident. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told me that I should immediately turn my face. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Ali رضي الله عنه, يا علي لا تتبع النظرة النظرة. Oh Ali, do not follow up one seeing with another seeing. Okay, if you've seen a woman already, you look away, don't look a second time. Okay, so the first sight, accidental sight, it is forgiven, but after lowering your gaze or turning your face, don't try to look again, because the second one is not forgiven. The hadith goes on to say, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. The first one is for you, meaning it's okay and you're going to be forgiven for it. Okay, the accidental one. Not that the first one is, you know, you keep on looking for the first time as long as you like and then you follow it and then you look away. No, the first one that you saw accidentally and then you turned your face away. Okay, so that's what it means. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأُولَى وَلَيْسَ لَكَ الْآخِرَةِ. The first sight, the accidental sight, it is for you, meaning it's okay for you, and not the second one. Guarding our eyesight at all times, it is very, very important. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمُ الْجُلُوسَ عَلَى الطُّرُقَاتِ. Beware of sitting in the ways. Okay, this is again, people who, you know, it's particularly back home in our countries, people who have nothing better to do, just layabouts, and people who just like to loaf in the street, it's that kind of a person who sits in the ways, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told people not to do that. Don't sit in the ways, in the marketplaces, if you don't have a reason to do so. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, la budda lana min majalisina natahaddathu fiha. So the Sahaba said, we have to sit because that's the only place where we can talk and discuss things. Obviously, in those days, because of lack of space, whatever, that was the only place that the Sahaba had. So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ فَأَعْتُوا الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ. If you are refusing, then at least give the way or the street its right. So the Sahaba said, وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the right of the street, O Prophet of Allah? So the Prophet ﷺ said, four things. غض البصر. Firstly, if you are sitting in the marketplace, in the way, in the streets, you should lower your gaze. You should lower your gaze. But unfortunately, that's the very reason that people sit there in the first place. Okay? To look at girls. And, you know, to chat them up and so on. Okay? So the first thing, غض البصر, lower your gaze. كف الأذى. If there's anything harmful in the way, pick it up and put it to the side. That's the second thing. Raddu salam, saying salam to each other, responding to salam. Wal amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu anil munkar, and ordering people to do good and forbidding them from evil. Okay, so basically, if you are doing these four things while you are sitting in those gatherings, then it's okay for you to sit. But if you're not, then you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to sit in the way. And more often than not, the reasonings for sitting in the ways or in the marketplaces is not very good. Okay, so and these things are not implemented. So we have to try to avoid doing that unless we're doing these four things that have been mentioned here. The benefit of lowering the gaze. It's mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى مَحَاسِنِ امْرَأَةٍ ثُمَّ يَغُضُّ بَصَرَهُ إِلَّا أَخْلَفَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِبَادَةً يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهَا. That whenever a man, he sees a beautiful woman and then he lowers his gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will bless him with such a form of worship that he will see, he will feel the sweetness of that worship. And this is something very common nowadays. People say, I don't feel any comfort in my prayer. I don't feel, you know, khushu' in my prayer. I don't, you know, I don't feel like doing ibadah. I don't feel like reciting Quran. And one of the main things is because we are not guarding our eyesight. If we guard our eyes, then as the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with that kind of worship with which we will feel the sweetness of. Okay, so this is something to always keep in mind. The Prophet ﷺ also said, إِنَّ النَّظَرَ سَهْمٌ مِّن سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسِ مَسْمُومٌ مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي أُبْدِلَتْهُ إِمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that the eyesight or the vision, it is an arrow, it is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. And whoever he leaves it, whoever leaves the looking, meaning the looking at something that he's not supposed to, out of my fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exchange for him such a iman that he will feel the sweetness of the iman in his heart. Inna Allaha khabirun bima yasna'un. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is fully aware of what the people are doing. Finally, I'll just mention one hadith. It's mentioned in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu 'aynin baqiyatun yawm al-qiyamah." All the eyes will be crying on the day of judgment. "Illa 'aynan ghaddat 'an maharimillah," except for that eye that was lowered from the maharim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made haram. "Wa'aynan saharat fi sabilillah," and an eye that stayed awake in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning to either pray tahajjud or to guard the other people who are in the group. "Wa'aynan yakhruju minha mithlu ra'si dhubabi min khashyatillah," and that eye that shed a tear the size of the head of a fly. That eye that shed a tear the size of the head of a fly out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these three eyes, they will be happy on the day of judgment. They will not be crying on the day of judgment. Other than that, all of the other eyes will be crying, meaning out of what is going to happen to them and what will happen to them. Where will their abode be? Where will their final destination be? That's why they will all be upset and they will be disturbed, and because of that they'll be crying, except for these three people that have been mentioned in this hadith. I did read one more ayah, but inshallah I will do that next week. It is quite lengthy and I have to get to a meeting, so I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي
لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار